What is going on with y'all, man? It is Black Balloon, and I'm coming back with another video, so y'all already know what's going on. All right, y'all. Now, today, we are gonna do another video with the late Ted Gunderson, right? So, the first video was The Finder's Cult, Part 1. The reason I say Part 1 is because all of this stuff is very related to each other, and it definitely ties back into the video we are about to do now, considering this was like, you know, one widespread cover-up CIA front. I believe it in a way was all connected. Even when Ted Gunderson did a bunch of his talks, you know, he brought up the Finder's Cult and the subject of today's video, you know, together in the same couple of sentences. So, you know, I feel like it's all connected. Now, you know, we could do another video that's like a part two more to the Finders. I did find a little bit more information on that. This video will be more focused on the Franklin cover-up, the Franklin case out of Nebraska. Very sick and twisted story if you haven't heard of it. You know, with what we've been going over recently on this channel, tracking back a couple months to, you know, the videos we did reacting to Allie Carter and her stories, you know, I don't think y'all would be surprised, but this stuff is still sick, twisted, evil, and it really needs to be talked about as much as we can. So I've been happy to find a bunch of this stuff and just continue going down this rabbit hole. Even Ted Gunderson talked about a lot of stuff with CPS, you know, Child Protective Services and their involvement in it as well, just like Allie Carter did. So it was cool to kind of connect the stories, although I didn't have a doubt in my mind about the things that Allie Carter was talking about as well, right? You know, all of this stuff relates, man. So, yeah, in this video, we're going to do the Franklin cover-up. We're going to get into some more clips from Ted Gunderson. Also got a really interesting article to read from as usual, and we'll just take the time to get into the story. Without doing too much talking in this intro, we'll go ahead and jump into the first clip from Ted Gunderson about the Franklin cover-up. Y'all are going to find this to be very interesting. So with that being said, check this out.
And the next major case I'd like to mention is the Nebraska case. In 1988, I received a phone call from Lincoln, Nebraska. One of my college friends said, "Ted, you better get back here. There was a major investigation headed up by John DeCamp, former state senator, good friend of mine. And John had taken on the task of exposing a group of high-level politicians in the state of Nebraska and some of the top businessmen. As a result of this case, the kids who were part of the network came forward. There were 80 children because of the publicity on a pedophile pornographic arrest. Four of them gave statements. Two of the four later recanted. Two stood by what they originally initially said. And what we developed there was that children were being taken out of orphanages and foster homes, driven to Sioux City, Iowa, 184 miles away, and flown to Washington, D.C. for sex orgy parties with congressmen and senators. The person in charge was a fellow named Larry King, a black man, not Larry King Live. And he was president of the Franklin Savings and Loan, which was a savings and loan established to help the minorities. He had a salary of $17,000 a year. He was paying $5,000 a month for a condominium in Washington, D.C. for these parties.
All right, y'all. Real quick, I won't make this too long so we can get back to the clip. He's going to mention a couple of characters. Now, this is one of the key characters we have to talk about just really quick so we could get to know who he is. His name is Lawrence E. King Jr. Everyone now agrees had a remarkable knack for stretching on a dollar. On a salary of $16,200 a year, the credit union manager drove a $70,000 white Mercedes and still could afford to spend $10,000 a month on limousines. His credit card charges topped $1 million. He owned a four-story house on 26 acres overlooking the Missouri River, and his floor bill came to $146,000 during a fragrant 13-month period in 87 and 88. A former McGovern Democrat who converted to the GOP, King threw a $100,000 party for 1,000 close friends at the Republican National Convention in New Orleans 2 years ago, leasing a warehouse used to store Mardi Gras floats. 4 years earlier, before singing the Star Spangled Banner at the Republican Convention in Texas, he hosted a similar bash by renting South Fork, the ranch used to film Dallas. When visiting Los Angeles, King preferred a two-story suite at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in Washington. He paid $5,000 a month to occupy a palazzo on California Street next to the Venezuelan embassy. A federal jury this summer will decide whether King, 45, is guilty of charge of looting $38 million from the Franklin Community Federal Credit Union in a predominantly black neighborhood of North Omaha. Last week, a county grand jury, under the direction of a special prosecutor, began sifting through allegations tying King to a Little One prostitution and exploitation ring that reputedly cater to some of Omaha's most respected.
As a result of the investigation, we learned also that there was an international child kidnapping ring operating out of the Midwest and all the way into Washington, D.C. Paul Benassi, one of the kids who I interviewed for 5 hours, I've got him on 5 hours of tape, by the way. I need to make that tape available to you, but I'm so busy, I'm kind of like a one-armed paper hanger, that I just haven't had time to do it. But Paul Benassi, when he was 10, 11, 12 years old, was recruited by these people to be one of them and to act as a buffer and in shopping centers, parks, public places, to attract the children his age over near the car. The adults involved in the ring would grab them and they would kidnap them. The kids, of course, talked about satanic cult ceremonies. They talked about the kidnapping ring. Paul's life has been turned upside down because he refused to recant, as did Alicia Owens, the other person who refused to recant. Alicia's still serving time in prison for lying to the grand jury. She was convicted of that. When she was 14 years old, she had sex with the chief of police, Bob Wadman. That's what she said. And the other kids backed her up. Other top businessmen who were identified were Harold Anderson, publisher of the Omaha World Herald, the head of the society page in Omaha, Eugene Mahoney, who was a former vice squad police officer in Omaha and is now head of the Forestry Service for the state of Nebraska, and the list goes on and on and on. The pedophile ring, homosexual pedophile ring, they were transporting these kids from Omaha to Des Moines, to Minneapolis, to Milwaukee, to Madison, and back to Omaha. So, unfortunately, the investigator prior to my entering the case, Gary Caradori, had learned about some pictures. And these pictures were the smoking gun of the case. Pictures of politicians having sex with children and other unbelievable acts, boys and girls and so forth.
Now here is the other key figure when it all began, Craig J. Spence. Him and Lawrence King, they both worked together and they both essentially started the ring that turned into an international sex ring that was mostly young boys. And they helped recruit, and they had pimps that were politicians and all the way up to Washington, D.C. Craig J. Spence was 49. He was a Washington lobbyist, party giver, and shadowy central figure in a district sex scandal last summer. He was found dead under unexplained circumstances Friday in a Boston hotel room. He also talked about the CIA killing him and saying that he unalived himself. So remember, as we read this article, it actually came true. Basically, these guys were, you know, Epstein before Epstein, especially a lot of stuff that I read about this guy. You know, they gathered a lot of powerful people through parties for him, did this, did that, all in the name of running a prostitution ring of little boys. So it says, Boston police said Spence was found fully dressed on his bed after officers forced their way into his room at the Ritz-Carlton. The cause of death was not immediately known. No visible sign of injury, and the cause of death was under investigation at the time. Spence, a former radio and television journalist, was widely publicized last summer as the sometimes eccentric host of parties and seminars that drew famous, or at least near famous, names to his imposing stone house in the Colorama area. Attention was focused on him after reports that he was frequenting a male escort service run out of a house in Upper Northwest Washington, which came under the scrutiny of authorities. Now, you got to remember, they were running these escort services in Washington, and that is pretty much based off where the Finders cult was located as well, which Ted Gunderson said this was a CIA front for trafficking. You also have to remember that Spence said that he would be killed by the CIA and they would put it out in the media as him unaliving himself, which is why in the beginning of this video I said everything is related. And this is deep. This story is very deep, and it has a lot of players in it, a lot that we probably won't even be able to cover in one video. It also was disclosed that he and friends had been allowed last year to take midnight tours of public areas of the White House. Not just him and friends. We're going to find out a little bit more about that later. He had checked into the hotel November 4th under an alias and was scheduled to check out Friday. But when members of the cleaning staff went to prepare the room for the new guests, they could not get in. Boston police said last night that Spence was found in a black tuxedo with a white bow tie, white suspenders, black socks, and shoes. He was wearing glasses and was carrying personal papers, jewelry, and money. In August, the Secret Service said Spence had been served with a subpoena to appear before a federal grand jury here. The Secret Service was interested in his connection to a uniformed Secret Service officer who admitted receiving a Rolex watch from him. The agency also was seeking Spence's testimony about the Washington Escort Service, whose operator said he patronized often. The service, which catered primarily to gay men, was being investigated by the Secret Service. And now it gets much deeper.
So, the official photographer of the group was a fellow named Rusty Nelson, Russell Nelson. And Rusty was a farm boy from Nebraska. He had never seen the bright lights of the big city. And he was enamored with the rich and the famous and the jet airplanes and the trips around the world, actually. And he was a professional photographer, and he started out by working in a gay club, taking pictures for the club, and he was recruited from there into the sex ring. Rusty was not himself homosexual, I'm convinced of it. I've spent quite a bit of time with him. He, in connection with his work, would sneak a roll of film in on occasion when he was photographing these acts, because they were taking the, quote, official film away from him as soon as it was completed. Rusty sent these pictures back home, and he also scattered them around the United States, negatives and photographs themselves. He was sold for sex by Larry King to a businessman in Washington, D.C., and he said to the businessman, "Let me go in the bathroom and wash up." And instead of coming back out, he went out the back window and he disappeared.
Here's an interview I found. The guy that was being interviewed, his name is Nick Bryant. So the entire interview was put into text, so we can read, right? Nick Bryant was an investigative journalist and an author that wrote the book, The Franklin Scandal. He goes on to give a little bit more of detail about what Ted Gunderson was talking about with the photographer Rusty Nelson and just the entire scandal in general. So it says the Franklin scandal is about an interstate pedophile network that flew kids from coast to coast. What we're seeing with Jeffrey Epstein, we saw in the Franklin scandal. Although I think the Franklin pandering network was much, much bigger than Jeffrey Epstein's network. There were two primary pimps. There was a pimp in Nebraska, Larry King, who we've already talked about. He was getting children that have fallen through the cracks from foster care homes, from Boys Town Orphanage, and from some other institutions. There was another pimp living in Washington, D.C., who was involved in this, Craig Spence, who had his home wired for audio-visual blackmail. Anybody who took part in any of those parties at Craig Spence's home was definitely blackmailed, a lot like Mr. Epstein. Social services ultimately found out about that network, and they went to both state and federal law enforcement. These social service personnel were simply ignored by both federal and state law enforcement. However, ultimately, there was an investigation because one of the accused pedophiles, Larry King, had embezzled $40 million from the Franklin Savings and Loan, which he was manager of, which we've already talked about. He says those senators hired an investigator named Gary Caradore, who Ted Gunderson also talked about. They say this guy was an amazing investigator. He found additional victims and videotaped them. He had 21 hours of videotaped victim testimony, and that testimony was given to both state and federal law enforcement. They can no longer deny or ignore that Lawrence King ran a pedo network. So it had gone to a whole new level, and that required a completely new and improved cover-up, a much bigger cover-up. At that point, there were some very mysterious deaths, including the investigator, Gary Caradore. His plane disintegrated over Lee County, Illinois. I think he got some really critical evidence that was going to blow the thing wide open. There are also two grand juries that were corrupted. One of them went for 2.5 months and found that there was no child abuse, and they indicted the victims of child abuse for crimes for perjury. It was pretty amazing. Two of those kids would not back down. This is who Ted was also talking about. Alicia Owen and Paul Bonacci. Alicia was indicted on 8 counts of perjury and was looking at 160 years in prison. And Paul was indicted on 3 counts of perjury and was looking at 60 years. In Chicago, the guy, which was the investigator, Gary Caradore, he met with Rusty Nelson. Rusty Nelson is the photographer that Ted Gunderson was just talking about. This guy called him a pornographer. I don't want to say the P word too much. And also, I think a black male photographer. I spent a lot of time with Rusty. He's kind of an unsavory guy. But an investigation like this, you have to spend a lot of time with unsavory people. Rusty said that he had given pictures to Gary Caradore of the pedophilic exploits of King and the other powerful people when they met in Chicago. I've had 4 points of corroboration other than Nelson that Gary Caradore did get pictures in Chicago. Caradore was flying back to Lincoln, Nebraska when his plane inexplicably broke up over Lee County, Illinois. He and his 8-year-old son were killed, and then the pictures were never discovered. Lawrence King was considered the fastest rising African-American star in the Republican Party. He rubbed elbows with just about everybody in the upper echelon of the Republican Party. Craig Spence was also a power broker in the Republican Party. He was a lobbyist. He could call anyone at any time. He had connections. As I said, he could pick up the phone and call anybody. I think that Spence compromised anybody who did anything illegal in Spence's home in Washington. There were lots of opportunities to do things that were illegal in Spence's home. Anybody who did anything illegal in that home was compromised. And Americans don't understand this counter-political process. So this sounds a lot like Epstein. We're talking about sexual, political blackmail, and It's almost the same storyline. And the guy that did the most blackmail, that made sure he filmed these politicians, he filmed these people in Washington, he did it the same exact way. It just wasn't on an island. It was right in Washington, all disguised. And guess what? His death was him supposedly unaliving himself. Very similar to the story on how we got Epstein's death. So these stories have a lot in common.
On the back table back there, I've got a videotape that says Conspiracy of Silence. Let me tell you about this, and this is where I came up with the idea to grab Rusty and go find these pictures. There was a TV crew from Yorkshire Television in England that came over in the early 1990s. They were here for 7 months. And they filmed this whole case, the one I'm telling you about. It was to be aired on Discovery Channel, May the 4th, 1994. And even listed in the TV guide. But at the last minute, somebody came in and bought up the rights and ordered that all the copies be destroyed. I hold in my hand a bootleg copy of that show. And what we are going to do, Rusty and I and John DeCamp, we're going to complete this story, and nobody's going to buy us off. I don't know if we can get it on Discovery Channel or not, but we're going to do our own video. We're going to basically include the information here on this video, and we're going to update it. We're going to include the $1 million judgment. We're going to include information about more details about the kidnapping ring, and including an interview with Noreen Gosh. Noreen Gosh's 12-year-old son was kidnapped back in 1982, Johnny Gosh. There's a book out. It's called Why Johnny Can't Come Home. And I was supposed to have a case of them here tonight, but something happened. I guess, I don't know, maybe they're in the mail someplace. But Paul Benassi helped kidnap Johnny Gosh. And he gave us a statement to that effect. And they took Johnny that first day. He was kidnapped on a Sunday. He was delivering his Sunday Des Moines Register. Took him to a safe house in Sioux City, Iowa. They kept him there. And according to information developed by the mother, Noreen Gosh, the snatching of the child was ordered by a fellow named Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino, head of the Temple of Set out of San Francisco. This is in her book. And Michael Aquino wrote me a letter because I quoted him someplace and challenged me on it, but I said, hey, it's in the book. It's in Noreen Gosh's book. Anyway,
All right, y'all. So the end of this video sets us up for our next topic. And it's going to be just as interesting as the one you just watched. So here's a quick overview of the guy, Michael Aquino, that Ted Gunderson just mentioned, right? He said Michael Aquino ordered the kidnapping of Johnny Gosh, which he's going to be, you know, featured in the next video that we do. So it says Michael Aquino founded the Temple of Set in 1975. Aquino was a political scientist, military officer, and a high-ranking member of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. He left the Church of Satan after becoming dissatisfied with LaVey's direction for the church. Aquino and other dissatisfied members of the Church of Satan established the Temple of Set. The Temple of Set's doctrine is based on the writings of you-know-who, Aleister Crowley. The Temple of Set's practices focus on self-development, and they believe that the Egyptian deity Set is the true prince of darkness. Now, I think it's also worth noting, which a couple of you pointed out in the Finders video part one, that Ted Gunderson was married to a woman named Diane Hargitay, who is also known for her involvement with the Church of Satan. They were together many years before their relationship ended in a divorce. And if I'm not mistaken, she went on to actually marry Anton LaVey. So she was a high priestess within the church for, I guess, over 20 years. And Mr. Ted Gunderson was married to her. And it's safe to say that he rubbed shoulders with guys who were devout Satanists and wanted to bring about darkness into this world. Now, it's not to say that he was involved in all of the stuff that he talks about, but he was definitely married to a well-known Satanist, and why, I cannot tell you that. But one thing I will say is he has a lot of good information. He was once the head of the FBI in Los Angeles, and whatever may have happened in his life turned the table, and he started to expose the darkness that he himself may have been around and involved in. So not saying that he was involved in trafficking these kids and all of that stuff, because there's no proof out there of that. But there is proof that he was married to the former high priestess of the Church of Satan. So we'll go ahead and end this video here. So I want y'all to remember how he said Michael Aquino ordered the kidnapping of Johnny Gosh on a Sunday. So that's going to lead us into our next video and the rituals of how a lot of this stuff with kidnapping the little ones first started. So y'all definitely stay tuned for the next video. So we're going to go a little bit deeper into what all of this is about. So with that being said, y'all, it's Black Balloon, and I'm going to see y'all soon. I'm out.